There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from the grounds for the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission's job fair. And Terry Pringle, director, has invited us out here to be part of it. And this is hopping, Terry.
It is. We're just tickled.
Yeah, this is. I was talking to the crew that was out here first thing when y'all opened up. I said, "How the crowd's been?" They said, "Busy." I said, "Compared to when I came in," they said, "Just as busy." So it's obviously been steady with people coming through today.
Absolutely. It's been a great stream of people. Matter of fact, the vendors are saying, hey, it hasn't been like a huge crowd all at once, but there's enough stream that they're able to talk to individuals and really have that communication with them about, of course, jobs.
That's right. And here's, you know, I think about the value of an event like this when times are tough. There's a lot of people looking for jobs. And when times are good, look at the vendors out here looking for people to recruit.
Well, you know, Sean, that was something when we were talking about putting this on again. This is our 21st, as you mentioned. When you know, you have a period of time in economy where people don't really are looking for jobs because,
right.
What, the unemployment rate is so low, you're
right.
Thinking, well, is anybody going to show up?
Well, that's a fair question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we've been on needles and pins, and we've changed how we've done our advertising. Of course, you know, social media is a mm-hmm. big deal. Radio is a big deal. So we have changed that as well. But I don't like not seeing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Social
right.
media is that kind of thing that hangs out there, and you just hope for the best.
right. Not sure the quantitative on it, but obviously,
yeah.
What y'all are doing is working. And, you know, I wonder if we just, when you and I just walked around and talked to people here, are they looking for a job or are they looking for their next job?
And sometimes, you know, they're underemployed.
Okay.
They're in a job, but they're not in the job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, you know, I want to do something I enjoy. Let me look at these companies and see if it's something that, hey, this really sparks my interest.
Right.
You know, right now I'm just doing something so I can get a paycheck.
Yes.
But, hey, let's do something now. I have a choice. You know, in the past, you kind of had to take what you could get.
That's right.
And now you can kind of get what you want.
Yeah, and there's so many people out here, vendors, that you're right. If somebody comes out, we're at the grounds, by the way, like I mentioned, come on out. There's going to be someone who has a position that is that job you've wanted.
Yes.
Not the job, the career you wanted, the thing you want
yes.
to go do.
Yes, and that's another thing, too. We have resources here for people that say, you know what, I want to change, but I have no clue what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have resources as far as colleges, as far as if you want to be a CDL driver, which we need considerably. I mean,
yes.
that is huge right now, especially in Mobile. We have people that can train you to do that. We have programs here that they will pay you while you're trained for the job. I mean, you've got this, the resources are phenomenal.
Yeah, if somebody's listening to us right now and is looking for that first job or looking for that next job, this is about the best time in the last 20 years I can
Absolutely.
Think of to be in this position.
Absolutely, Sean. You know, now, and not only as far as nationwide, but in Mobile, Alabama, we are perking. I mean, to no end. We have things that people that, companies that are coming in, opening up. We have foreign companies that are coming up, aerospace, maritime, you name it. We've got it in Mobile. And so it's like, you can see it. Just
yeah.
this event's making it obvious.
You know, Governor Ivey in town yesterday talking about training and,
yes.
and Airbus and
yes.
that one. But those kind of opportunities, like you pointed out, what I'm looking here, there's other companies that are doing that same kind of thing. They're saying, we want you to work. We want you to work so much for us that we will train you to do the job, to work for us.
Exactly. And, you know, here again, some of the colleges, like Bishop State, you have right across the way here, you know, they're offering these connections. You know, if you will come and apply yourself, we will pay you. We will buy the tools for you if you'll just come and make yourself available. I mean, you can't beat that.
No, you can't.
If I could start over, I might start over. But
right. I mean, it'd be, you know, these people, not only, you know, usually you're going, okay, well, maybe if I can check off all the boxes, they'll call me back. Look, heck, they're going to train you. They're going to check the boxes off for you.
Exactly.
So, and the nice thing is, too, the number of businesses and educational facilities that are here, it would take somebody a year's time to go do this in person with shoe
individual,
leather.
Individual, yes. Yes.
And come here and get it done in one place.
Exactly. And that's what we really have strived for. You know, we really believe in workforce development, bringing all these things under one roof. Not only does it help the businesses, but like you said, it helps that individual that can say, hey, I want to check this company, that company. Well, you can do it all today. Right now. And then we have the career bus out front. You say, well, I don't have a computer that I can do online because they're telling me I need to apply online. We got the bus right out here. You can go out there and apply online right now.
That is perfect. Y'all come out and take part of this. We are at the grounds, South Alabama Regional Planning Commission job fair. Hours today? Till
9 to 2.
Okay. So get here in the next hour and a half or so. And when you do, come on by the FM Talk 106.5 table. Visit with us. We'll be doing the show here. And you know what? If you got a question, I know that there's a pile of people here that can
That's right. That's right.
All
great.
Right. Terry, thanks for having us out
here. Hey, thank you for being here.
Hey, this is a pleasure. We are live at the grounds for the job fair. Once again, come on out and see us. More information on our website and our Facebook page as well. Coming back, speaking of jobs, well, you said it, 2020. Now we have, now as of this week, we got the phone call on Monday with Representative Mooney declaring. So now there are four declared candidates, or maybe it's growing. Well, what about former state senator Tripp Pittman? Of course, made a run at the governor's office. He is going to join us next. There's a lot we're going to talk about with the former senator, but one of the questions is, what are his intentions as he trying to get in for Senate 2020? Like I pointed out, on the Democrat side, that story has gotten fairly interesting as well, with the story this week that Alabama State Representative John Rogers now intimating he may run in the primary against Senator Doug Jones. So, well, which is, you know, you wouldn't think that would happen. You think all the action would be on the Republican side, but in fact, it may be on both. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up with former State Senator Tripp Pittman. He joins us next on Midday Mobile. We are live at the grounds at the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission Business Expo and Job Fair.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. And we are live at the grounds for the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission's Job Fair, Business Expo, and Job Fair. And really is. I got the report when I sat down in here that they've been busy all morning, and they are busy right now. A lot of businesses out here, a lot of training facilities, a lot of people looking at maybe their first job or their next job. Invite you to come out and be part of this. Goes till 2 o'clock today. Also, as I'm reminding you of activities coming up, one of the favorite events of the year for craft beer fans, it's the 7th annual 99 Bottles of Beer on the Lawn event at Southern Napa. This goes on at Southern Napa in Daphne, and it happens on Saturday. 99 different beers to sample from Mobile, Baldwin County, Alabama, the Southeast, around the world, plus live music, a food truck. Baldwin Humane Society will be there for pet adoptions. Tickets are $35, and you can get them online at southernnapa.com. Now, that lets you test out all 99 beverages. Some of them, they're beers, and then there's some of the, I forget all the ciders and the different names for the craft drinks, but they are all for you to sample. You go out and you can sample every one of them if you can while you're there. Tickets $35, but if you go to southernnapa.com to purchase your ticket, if you'll use our code FM Talk, save $5 per ticket. My buddy Jim Cox is doing that for FM Talk 106.5 listeners. So get your tickets through southernnapa.com. Make sure to use the code FM Talk and get that discount. Sample the finest 99 beers available in Alabama Saturday from 1 to 4 at the 7th annual 99 Bottles of Beer on the Lawn. This is at Southern Napa in Daphne. We'll see you there on Saturday. All right, and y'all say hello to a voice I have not had on in, it's been too long, friend of mine and former state senator Tripp Pittman joining us now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for your time.
Sean, it's good to be with you. That 99 beverages on the wall sounds like we just need to amend a song, doesn't it?
Does it take one down and don't pass it around? Just go ahead and sample that little thing and then go to the next spot. That's for sure. So much I want to talk about with you, and I kind of break it apart in pieces. And if there's something that you want to run with, please let me know. But I just got a text from somebody who said, you know how you said, Sean, that the Republicans may move with Medicaid expansion? And I said they wouldn't. And that person texted me and said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't believe you. Looking at possible Republican support for Medicaid expansion in Alabama, I know that you and I have talked about this many times. You're studied on this, and do you think this is the right choice or the wrong choice for our state?
Well, we can't afford the Medicaid we have now, Sean. I'm an old school guy. I don't believe that health care is a right. You know, we've made the decision as a nation to help take care of the elderly. We've made a decision. Of course, they have to contribute to that. With Medicaid in Alabama, we take care of pregnant women and children under 19. But right now, you know, we're spending $750 million a year on Medicaid. It's the largest item in the general fund budget. And right now, we can't, you know, we cannot afford a couple hundred million dollars a year with the federal government paying, quote, 90% in the short term. And it's for able-bodied adults, Sean. I mean, I think most people believe that able-bodied adults should go out and get a job. And that's just what I believe. And, you know, the individual health care, you know, there's a whole other debate. You know, public health is certainly a responsibility of the state. We see that now with the measles outbreak. We've had TB before. There's always the threat of a pandemic. We need public health. But individual health care is something that's, and once you start extending that to able-bodied adults, to me that's the cost in the federal government. You know, one thing I've done by trying to lead the fight against expanding Medicaid when I was in the Senate is we saved the federal government a whole lot of money. And this is a government that's running trillion-dollar deficits. You know, it took until 1986 to get our first trillion in debt, and now we're equaling that amount on an annual basis, or over $22 trillion. The national debt has now exceeded the net worth of the company of the country. So it's an amazing number. And you know what we're talking about today. One of the reasons I'm considering, you know, running for the United States Senate is I believe that fiscal responsibility is paramount. And I think it's amazing to me that no one even wants to talk about deficits and debt. And, you know, we're threatening the future of our country and certainly the quality of life for our posterity by not dealing with it.
You've never shied away from that. That's one thing that you and I have talked about for years when in your work in the Alabama Senate, and now this discussion here about maybe running for U.S. Senate. But it is not a popular discussion. You know it better than I, but I know it just from doing talk radio all these years, that it is a fiscal responsibility and fiscal conservatism tends to be moved back the list compared to, you know, pick the subject of the day, pick whatever it is, the talking point of the day, and the idea that we need to rein in spending seems to not be one that really very few politicians ever get out on the campaign trail and talk about, because that doesn't mean you're giving people stuff. They say you're going to take stuff away from me, Tripp.
Well, I'm a businessman. You know, I was a businessman serving in office in the state Senate. I'm back to being a businessman and enjoying it thoroughly. You know, I'm a businessman and a free enterprise person at heart. But the reality is, Sean, is the government is the process of getting other people to pay for things that you want. In your own family, you have to make decisions about what's important and prioritize. But in government, you know, you try to get other people to pay for the things you want. You don't want to pay for them yourself. You want somebody to subsidize them or pay for them in total. You know, and debt is immoral. I mean, what we're doing is basically pledging the future of our country and really forcing at some point for the government just to wipe out all the debt. Of course, quote, T-bills are the greatest certainty in the world, but ultimately all governments default. And what we do every year is inflate, and we have inflation, which allows the government to pay us back with money that's worth less than what we gave them. It helps them to make us pay more money in taxes through higher sales taxes, higher property taxes, you know, higher income taxes. So the reality is that, you know, everything starts with being fiscally responsible. You know, at the state level, when I came in, we were at the end of the Great Recession. You know, we cut 20% from the budget. We had to make tough choices. We had to tell people no. I continued that process the whole time in this legislature, and we balanced every budget. We paid back all our debt. We created surpluses. Of course, now I'm not there, so they tend to have some money because of some things we did with the rolling reserve and some limitations we put in place. They have money to spend, and they're spending it. I wish they'd be a little more prudent with it, because I would think in the not-too-distant future, especially if they expand Medicaid, they'll be coming back saying they're out of money again.
Y'all see, I'm not the only person saying stuff like that. I've said this in interviews to some people that are toying with the idea of running for Senate 2020, some that have declared, and just other politicians in the state. And I've asked that several times. I said, hey, why not right now take that money and figure out how you're going to shore up future? Because it's, you know what, eventually the music stops, right? The music stops and somebody's left without a chair. I mean, eventually the party does end and it swings back. It's a natural state of the economy. It's not always going to be like this.
I'm an optimist. You know, I'd like to be happy. I'm an optimist. I wouldn't be involved, have gotten involved in government if I wasn't an optimist and believe in America. You know, I was first president I ever voted for was Ronald Reagan. I loved his idealism, his optimism, his philosophy, and you know, I still believe we're the shining city on the hill. But that is threatened. You know, when I was younger and you were younger, and probably these listeners, we used to always think of when Social Security was going to run out of money, when Medicare was going to run out of money. It was like 2050, 2060. Well, now we have dates. Medicare is running out of money in 2029. In 2030, if they don't do anything, then you know, benefits are going to be cut. Social Security runs out of money in 2035. So if you're out there working now and you're, you know, 45 years old, you know, your Social Security is going to get cut by 30% if they don't do something. And as you said earlier, the sooner you do something, the sooner you start to deal with it and have debates. But nobody even wants to talk about it. It's like the old movie A Few Good Men with Colonel Jessup. You can't stand the truth.
Right.
You know, people don't want to hear it, but it's not leadership. It's irresponsible. You know, Winston Churchill warned people in Europe and the world about a guy named Adolf Hitler. You know, and people didn't want to listen. He was removed from office and kind of went into the wilderness. And so one day it came back around that a world war had to be fought to stop him. You know, crisis can be averted if you try to deal with them soon enough. But unfortunately in politics, you know, it's not the people's money in office. I've always felt a tremendous fiduciary responsibility, I guess because I pay taxes, and I do care about this country, and I've served this country, and I think that we owe it to future generations to have the same opportunities that we have. And if we don't have them, allow them that same opportunity, then we're being extremely selfish.
You know, the other part of this is you have part of it where you're trying to get the government exactly right, have other people pay for things you think should be paid for. At the same time, this tact is used. And I got to tell you, I mean, sometimes in a weakened moment, it does make me go, oh, well, maybe they're right, just for a second or two. And that's when, well, everybody else is going to get it. So, you know, Senator Pittman, everybody else is getting it. If we don't take the Medicaid expansion, look what they're doing in the states that took it. Look at the federal money available. If we don't take that money, it's going somewhere else. Look at that money. It's just sitting there.
Well, again, you know, it's not permanent money, Sean. We all know that things are too good to be true or too good. There's no such thing as a free lunch, not permanently. You can have temporary free lunches with deficit spending, but you know they're going to pay 90% to start with, which is still going to cost us $200 million. Now they calculate we can get it back through, you know, more healthcare spending and more economy. But the federal government's ultimately going to have to make tough decisions. Markets are stronger than governments. Ultimately, the market's going to force the government to either, you know, raise interest rates to attract investors to buy T-bills. They're going to have to cut spending so they can live up. You know, these deficits are incurring with positive cash flow because, you know, they include Medicare and Social Security surpluses in the budget numbers you receive. So as those go away, it's only going to exacerbate the deficit issues. And the markets are going to force the government to become more fiscally responsible. And when they do that, they're going to require the states to pay more money. And so here we go again. I mean, so as a fiscal conservative, you know, at the state level, dependence on the federal government is not a guarantee going forward. And so I would argue that just as we want the federal government to try to get their act in order sooner rather than later, that the states that are more independent, more self-sufficient, will have a better, you know, environment and a better quality of life for their citizens going forward.
You know, as you mentioned on the federal side, it is unbelievable to me, and I know you watch this and have talked about it over the years, somebody like 45 years old right now, this possible 30% cut to their Social Security coming up, and you don't hear people addressing Congressman, you don't see the angry letters going to Congressman. It's about a bunch of other things, right? And you know, the creeping socialism or whatever. But how about at the same time, the fact that what's y'all's plan to make up for the overspending you've been doing for decades. And I don't hear, and I'm glad you come on and talk about it with me, because very few others will ever talk about it.
Well, listen, I'm perfectly happy, in Baldwin County and running Pittman Tractor Company. But, you know, I do care about this country. I was named for a guy that fought in the Revolutionary War, died in the Revolutionary War. I've had family that have served in all the wars. I've served my country. You know, this is a unique place in the history of the world. It is worth dying for, you know, and many people have. And many people have given the measure, not only the full measure, but, you know, tremendous damage to their bodies. But ultimately, America is an ideal. It's a place that needs to be preserved. And, you know, growing up, I also heard that the great empires always fail from within, right? It's not the outside mm-hmm. forces that get them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the internal decline and the moral foundations and breakdowns and civility, and then also fiscal irresponsibility. So extending themselves too far. So I just think it's a debate that needs to be had. One of the reasons I'm considering running for office is because I think we need to have this debate. We don't need to talk about, well, there's issues out there that are important. But, you know, we spend so much time dealing, kind of fiddling while Rome burns. And
yep.
we need to make sure that we talk about the real issues and what we're going to do to deal with them.
And I want to talk about that. We're going to go to the break here in a second. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of these national issues that would be the province of a U.S. senator. But at the same time, I can't not have you on and get some reflection on what's happening in the Senate now and in the House in Montgomery. And I want to prepare yourself because gas tax and lotto and all that stuff, I got to get your take on it. So can you hold on a second? We'll come right back.
Yes, sir.
All right, former State Senator Tripp Pittman, our guest right here on Midday Mobile. You can drop a text to us as well at 343-0106. I'm live at the grounds for the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission Business Expo and Job Fair. Come see us. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. We are live at the grounds for the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission's Business Expo and Job Fair. Tons of folks coming by. This is fun. It's fun. Good to see everybody out here. And let's do this, too. I don't know if this will be... I don't know what we'll do. There are people looking at me here that will try to play along with this. Y'all can't unless you take your phone out. No, take your phone out and dial 343-0106. I guess it's fair. They're standing right here. Dial 343-0106 because I'm looking for callers number 5 and number 6 for tickets to Widespread Panic, Pensacola Bay Center. Win them before you can buy them tickets. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 9. Your chance to win them right now. Caller 5 and caller 6 at 343-0106. Caller 5 gets Saturday night tickets. Caller 6 gets Sunday night tickets. It's a two-night stand. So good luck. And we continue our conversation with former state senator, my buddy Tripp Pittman, who you said, Tripp, that you're how much considering are you doing? How close are we in a scale from 1 to 10 for announcing that you're going to run for U.S. Senate?
I put it at a 5. I was going to say 50%.
So that'd be a 5. You always do that.
It's a big undertaking, and it's a big state. It's a tremendous commitment. I've always finished everything I've started. So, I've just really started thinking about it in the last week or so. I told people no numerous times, and then some of the people that I had anticipated getting in the race did not. And I feel like mm-hmm. there needs to be a debate. I think we need a real fiscal conservative and somebody that's got proven conservative credentials, somebody that's actually made the tough votes, you know, done the things that we did at Alabama in terms of actually balancing budgets and telling people no and trying to make good long-term decisions that are sustainable. But it's probably a 5. I'm thinking about it, reflecting, and talking to my family, and that's the first step. They said they'll support me if that's what I want to do, and obviously that's the number one and most important. But then you've also got to figure out how you're going to pay for a campaign. You know, I've always not taken PAC money. At the state level, you can do that. Still tempted to try that just because I don't think you need to compromise yourself before you get elected. And the other thing you need to do is talk about the issues, Sean. You know, people don't talk about them when they're running. It makes it awful hard for them to deal with them when they get elected.
No, it's very true. And what I've heard so far, and we're not way deep into this process, but I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing a lot of superficial things and just have, and the candidates may, doesn't mean they're not going to talk about deeper things, but right now they're just reacting to the news of the day, right? Oh, I think this is good. I think this is bad. That doesn't lay out a framework for what you do as one of just two representatives to Washington from Alabama as our diplomatic corps.
It's extremely important. You know, the Senate deals with tremendous confirmations on the federal courts. You know, they deal with foreign policy, all treaties, trade agreements. It's a tremendous responsibility, and one that, you know, my life experience, I think it has prepared me, you know, for this job in terms of being a business person. Also, having been in the state Senate, the rules are the same. You have to understand the process. It's three-dimensional chess, and you have to know what's going on, but you also have to, if you're going to be effective, you have to understand when you're at critical moments and critical points, and you can, you know, develop relationships and do things to get things done and to make substantive changes and be effective.
We'll talk about that, thinking on the state side and your time as a Alabama senator, state senator. What would you, if faced in this session here, you've been faced, first of all, let's start off with the gas tax. And because I really wanted to hear your take on this, too, since it passed. What would your vote have been on the legislation as it went through? And then any commentary on that?
Well, as it went through, you know, I believe that a gas tax is a fee. It's a user fee. You know, it's not it's something that actually, you know, if you drive, spend more money on gas, you pay more for the roads. The roads and infrastructure, to me, are important for trafficability safety. It's a general economic development as opposed to specific economic development. Alabama, you know, I'm having to drive up to Birmingham. My daughter's graduating from law school, and I already know there's going to be two or three points where road construction's going on. We need the road infrastructure. I did have some concerns with the process, the way it was worked through. I also have some concerns with the automatic hikes going through and some of the details. But I do think that infrastructure is important, and I do think it's a good way for economic development. It creates jobs for a lot of people. That those are the jobs they can do, and it's a general enhancement, not a specific enhancement. That's where I would have come down on that. We also need the money to be able to match with federal money or other, you know, ideas that are floating about in order to get it, things that we need done. And I think I was okay with the gas tax, but I'm not certain how it would have played out differently if I'd been there, for sure.
You know, speaking of use fees versus tax, let's talk about a use fee, because that's what it would be proposed on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and Bayway expansion. The debate now is really over how much. It's not whether it's going to be tolled or not. I know I heard way back that, hey, this wouldn't be built without a toll. I think people were shocked, number one, when the toll was going to, they were told that the toll would, yes, apply to the Wallace Tunnel, and in addition would be between $3 and $6. What's your take on that?
Well, I have a real issue with taking a free road and making it a toll road, meaning the Wallace Tunnel. And, you know, I thought Chris Elliott had some good points yesterday when he talked about, you know, relooking at trying to finance in all the maintenance into the project. I have some real concerns about why we're raising the Bayway. I happened to be on Spanish Fort when Katrina came through, and, you know, the water was still 8 or 10 feet below the Bayway, and that was an epic storm. So I think we need to redesign, look at all that we're trying to finance, and figure out how to get it down. You know, we don't need to raise the whole Bayway. We may have to raise the on-ramps and do a few things. I have some real issues with you know, with tolling the free road, but I know people will try to go around it. So I think we have to relook at the whole project. One of the things that's in play now, and I talked to George Talbot yesterday, is we're looking at what to do with the municipal auditorium. The reason that the big curve is before the tunnel is because at the time the municipal auditorium wouldn't give up any of its parking lot for that road to be straight. If that road was straight, it wouldn't solve the problem, but it would definitely slow down the accordion effect that takes place with the trucks and vehicles slowing down to 35 or 40 miles an hour and never regaining their speed before they, you know, have to try to come out of the tunnel. Right. But yeah, I think we need, you know, we need infrastructure, but I'm not in favor, you know, we're building roads for people that are, you know, coming through. You know, I've got a first priority is going to be the people that have to go back and forth between Mobile and Baldwin County on a daily basis, or on a regular basis. And I think the plan needs to be looked at. We need to find money, state money. We need to find federal money and figure out a way to do it. If the new road has to be tolled at some amount, but I don't think we ought to have to toll existing free roads.
I was just joining us talking to former State Senator Tripp Pittman and talking about his 50-50, 5 out of 10, no more than 5 out of 10 right now, thought process on possibly entering the U.S. Senate 2020 race. Let's talk about one more thing on the state level here, although, you know, we started off with the discussion of Medicaid expansion, and but I would ask your take on this. The lotto. You and I have talked about this in the past, you know, and also the situation in our state where we're always looking for the next, and this is me speaking, you can comment here, we're always magically finding the extra $20 bill in the jacket pocket before the lights are turned off. Basically, our state has had some, like, oh, wow, we can do this, and but that doesn't change going forward our spending issues. It just means we figured out something to get us by. Is this lotto like that, like a sugar high like that, or is this something long-term that's worth doing, or should the state pursue this at all?
Well, interesting. You know, one time I was in a heated budget debate before a conference committee with my colleague in the House, and we had a $20 million difference about whether to put money into savings or to spend it. So we flipped a coin, and I won, and so I saved the state $20 million playing with their money. So I'm not afraid to take a chance.
I love it.
I do think that that a lottery is not a good way to raise money. I don't think government should. You know, most people are going to lose, and I have some real concerns about, you know, the fact that Alabama's going to have a $1 million lottery, a $2 million lottery, $3 million lottery. I mean, most lotteries don't really do well until you get higher value amounts. Right. I actually did propose a bill when I was there to let us join Powerball and some of the mega millions, because I don't think we need to create a big bureaucracy in Alabama that may cost more than the money we generate. It's time for the people to be able to vote on it, Sean. The details of this bill are, quote, supposed to be just a clean bill, but I think it does some things in terms of protecting some of the people that are, you know, are in a favorable position in the current environment. But it's time for people to vote. Certainly whatever gets voted on could be changed. It's not going to solve all the problems. I do agree that the money needs to go to the general fund. I mean, that's where you need to, you know, you can see the needs in the prisons, which mm-hmm. is another reason not to expand Medicaid. I mean, the needs in the prisons are several $100 million, and these are people that have broken the law, you know, that have given up their rights, and we certainly have been turning way too many of them out on the street, even though we do need to look at different, you know, we need to look at ways of getting older people out of jail before all their health deteriorates and we become liable for that. We spend $100 million a year on prison health care, but I do think it's, you know, it's time for the people to be able to vote based on the legislation. There'll be people, players, that'll be for and against it. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It's not my preferred method of funding, but and I don't like who plays it and who pays. But when it's all said and done, I think the people in Alabama, by an overwhelming majority, were ready to vote on a lottery again.
If I could only had your influence in Montgomery back then to just get my idea of private lotteries through, Tripp, we'd have been doing something. But nobody wanted to hear.
There were a lot of private lotteries, and there's a long history of them in Louisiana. They didn't work out so well. But there's also a long history of private roads and, you know, toll roads. So I like toll roads. I think the system they've used in Florida is a good one. I think the challenge, you know, on the Mobile River Bridge, and I think it's over-designed. It's too expensive. We've got to look at other options. But, you know, it is an issue and has to be dealt with, like a lot of issues. The first thing they start with is having a debate and a discussion, and then you can make a better decision.
I'm going to think about the things we've talked about in the past, but that are still in play now in Montgomery and will be in play for somebody looking at, you know, looking at Washington as well. But I want to go back to ethics and ethics reform in the state. You and I talked about that a bunch, and then, you know, back with a new package or amendments to ethics reform. What am I supposed to think? Was it not done right the first time? Is it unworkable? What's the reasoning here on changing ethics reform?
Well, they're working, and they're too tight. I mean, they were work. You know, I was there at the Republican headquarters in 2010, November, when the Republicans took over the legislature, and I was there with Mike Hubbard and Del Marsh and Steve French and Rob Riley. And I said, hey, why don't we have a special session and pass ethics reform? Governor Riley had always pushed it, and it never had a chance to pass under the previous majority in the legislature. And so there was a special session called. I think we passed a tough set of ethics laws. They're not perfect, but I don't think that we need to amend them. I think that only that all that does is, you loosen them up, and you're going to create a crack. And the attempt is that they, I think they are working. I think this dovetails right back into term limits, Sean. You know, you've got to decide if you're going to be a public servant, if you're going to serve in office, or you're going to try to make a living being in office. And I think that's the perfect reason for term limits. You come in, you serve for one term or two terms, maximum, say, of three terms, like I did, and you get out. You go back to your job. You go back and do something else. You know, what happens is people are trying to figure out how they can get consulting contracts, how they can have interaction with people, after they get into office. You know, my old rule was if you knew somebody before you ran for office, it probably was okay. If people are coming to you after you get in office, they're probably looking for a way to get something. And so I think the ethics laws we have are good. They're strong, and I think they need to be left alone.
I appreciate your time. We'll have to talk again soon. And if things change, if it gets more like 51%, you're going to call me, let me know, so we can talk about it again?
I certainly will. And good luck on keeping the air conditioner running so you can stay on the air.
That's right. That's right. You had to deal with that with me yesterday. As always, I appreciate your time. Former State Senator Tripp Pittman, we'll talk again soon.
God bless. Take care, Sean.
All right, you too. We are live at the grounds for the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission Business Expo, Job Fair, 21st Annual. A lot of folks here. Love for you to come on by and say hello to us at the FM Talk 106.5 booth, where we're doing this thing called Midday Mobile Live. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. And we are live at the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission's Business Expo and Job Fair. And this is actually a good time to talk about this. The segment of the show brought to you by our friends at Harry's. Because if you're out here putting your best foot forward, trying to get your first job or your next job, part of that, gentlemen, is having that clean, close shave. You know, the average guy will spend 3,000 hours of our lifetime shaving. Well, that's depressing. Don't waste 4 months of your life overpaying for poor-performing razors. Invest that time with Harry's quality shaving supplies at a fair price. Let me tell you what I love about Harry's. So it's been years I've been shaving with Harry's. Number one thing, just like Senator Pittman was talking about a second ago, my fiscal conservatism drove me to Harry's because, well, the replacement blade's half the price of what you're paying at the grocery store or the pharmacy. And the convenience on top of that is fantastic. Having those blades and other shaving products now, too, show up at your house on a predetermined basis. How many you use a month or whatever, they're just there. You don't have to remember to go out maybe the night before a job fair and to get replacement blades. So those it's just a convenience thing. And also, the key to the whole deal, the shave is fantastic. And you can do this. Right now, special offer, and this offer does not, I can't get in on it. If you're already a Harry's customer, we can't get in on it. But it's a new customer deal, and it's the best I've ever heard. So if you've been on the fence about Harry's, you got to try it now. And join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping. Limited time offer. Harry's has a special offer for y'all. Listeners to Midday Mobile and FM Talk, new customers can get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So use code MOBILE at checkout and claim your offer and let them know I sent you. Help support Midday Mobile. Once again, use that code MOBILE at harrys.com. Also, I'd like to say congratulations. Had another couple winners here. We've been giving away like scads of tickets here. And the latest here for the pre-sale, the widespread panic tickets for the Pensacola Bay Center go on sale tomorrow. So it's been win them before you can buy them for that going on this week. And I want to say congratulations to Tim from Bay Minette and Jason from Mobile. Just won one of them won Saturday night, one of them won Sunday night of that show coming up at Labor Day weekend. So good work. I'll have more chances for you to win tickets coming up in just a little bit in hour number two. Some Jim Gaffigan tickets plus 99 bottles of beer on the lawn. That great event going on Saturday in Daphne at Southern Napa. Got tickets for that as well, so stay close. All right, it was, and we'll watch this, but the interesting part is more names and people that are at least looking at Senate 2020 on the Republican side. But we've known that that's coming, right? You had Congressman Byrne being the first to announce that he was running for Senate. And, of course, we've had Tuberville, Coach Tuberville, in the mix now for, what, 3 weeks, maybe a month? Maybe it's been a month since he declared. And then just this week, Representative Mooney threw his name in the mix as well. Well, there you hear Tripp Pittman, and I know other names are just standing by. I would imagine before we get into the heat of summer, we'll have a couple more names on the Republican side. But as I said during the morning show today, what I think is another wrinkle that's not being talked about that is probably one of the, well, it's more of the odd thing out than, of course, you're going to have the party not in power for any given office is going to pile up people who want to take that from the other party, right? I mean, you've got a Republican in power. There'll be tons of Democrats get in on the primary, have a Democrat in that Senate seat like Doug Jones. You're going to have a bunch of Republicans vying for it. It's normal. What's not normal is usually in a state like Alabama where it was such a win for Democrats to gain the Senate seat, such a unexpected thing to happen, that you would have anybody mess with the candidate that's running on the Democrat side, the incumbent, if you can call him an incumbent, but the winner of the special, but a good person in the office now, Senator Doug Jones. But that may be happening. And the story that's been playing out since it started last week, when you heard that audio there that just played during the abortion vote in Montgomery. Well, this is during some of the discussion in the House of Representatives last week on Alabama's abortion bill. And it was Representative John Rogers that started talking about kill him now or kill him later, right? And he got all the national airplay. Well, the next day, Senator Doug Jones had to come out and say that, he's disgusted with the comments from Representative Rogers and it didn't reflect Alabama. And Dalton and I were talking about it on the show that week. And I said, but Doug Jones and Representative Rogers would take the same vote on the bill. If Doug Jones somehow was in the Alabama House of Representatives and not in the U.S. Senate, he'd have voted just like Representative Rogers. So his problem was that it was making it tough politically for him. Right? It was a tough political situation because John Rogers was bringing unwanted attention to the stance on abortion that Senator Jones took. So he gets on the phone, has had a hubbub with Representative Rogers, and it looks now like Representative Rogers might be running against Doug Jones in the Democrat primary. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with Dale Jackson from WVNN. He joins us next right here on Midday Mobile. Stay close.